Ethernet enabled crock pot?
Yes.
Has that come and could you comment yet on that?
The Instant Pot. It is a pressure cooker, slow cooker, rice maker, yogurt maker, and sauteing pot. Yes, it's all one big pot. I think it's a 5-quart pot. It's pretty good size. On the front of it, it has about 18 tactile buttons, so it can be operated independently if you manage to memorize the buttons you need to use, which I have not even begun to do. But it also can be operated from an iPhone. I've used it as a pressure cooker and a slow cooker. The iPhone app works quite well. The only thing I've had trouble with is reading the ingredients in some of the built-in recipes that it offers you. It has some recipes that all you do is find the recipe on the app and then hit the start button. Of course, you have to put the ingredients in first, but then it does the cooking automatically. But when I used it as a slow cooker, I was able to tell exactly what the temperature of the pot was throughout the day while I was cooking, and it stayed right between 206 and 210 degrees. So it never went above the boiling point. And you can set the time. You can also check the pressure. Unfortunately, it doesn't give in pounds per square inch. It says either high, low, or none. I cooked Italian beef in it, so I cooked a roast with some dry salad dressing ingredients and water and stuff, and it made it into something that you might use on bread or over noodles. And it was pretty good. It actually cooked quite well. I cooked a couple of other things in it, but not anything that I'd want to brag about at this point. It is quite nice, and I'm glad I bought it. It was $179, and the app, of course, is free, and it worked quite well.
What's the cooking material?
The pot, I believe, is stainless steel, although I could be wrong about that. I don't remember. It is metal.
Yeah, is there an insert that you, like, take out to clean it? Or, like, how easy is it to clean this pot?
It's easy to clean, but you have to be really careful with the lid because it has sort of a soft rubber ring around it that maintains the seal, and you got to make sure you get that ring clean and that it's in the proper position. Otherwise, you could run into trouble. I haven't had any trouble with it, but I read that. The pot itself is an insert. It's very easy to take out. You can just hold an oven, your fingers with an oven mitt on both sides of it, and it's got little indentations, so you can get a hold of it easy and take it out and set it on the counter. And it's very easy to clean. It's dishwasher safe, the insert is. It has different levels of heat, so it'll start out at 100%. I think it's 1,000 watts when it's at 100%, but then once it gets going, that goes down to something like 43%. So it's pretty energy efficient. And I would say safe. It does have a pressure valve, and some recipes require that you relieve the pressure quickly as soon as it's done cooking. In fact, they say that it can ruin some cuts of meat if you don't do that. And yet other recipes tell you to let it sit there for 10 minutes until the pressure goes down naturally. But it's quite fun to play with. There are lots of podcasts out on it, on Apple Viz and Cooking with the Hazelnuts and Eyes on Success.
How is this device, Bluetooth or Wi-Fi?
Unfortunately, it's Bluetooth. While you're at work, you can't go to your iPhone and tell it to start cooking.
And so I imagine you were able to set it up independently, like there weren't any codes you had to enter or something along those lines.
There weren't any sighted people within quite a distance of me when I set it up. It was very easy. There was no pairing code that I remember. If there was, it told me what it was on the iPhone. I don't remember for sure. It was definitely blind friendly to set up. And the app is really quite accessible. And so is the manual. The manual is online as a PDF, but it's very accessible. And somebody told me that they don't think the company actually did that on purpose. They just happened to do it that way. So a lot of folks have been writing in complimentary remarks to the company that made it. I might try making rice in it sometime, though.
Barry, how well can you control that without using your iPhone if you just use the buttons?
Well, you can't check the temperature without the iPhone, but it does beep when it's done. It beeps when it starts, and there are buttons that are all tactile, so it would be a matter of learning the functions of the buttons. I expect that you probably could do basic things with it without the iPhone, although the iPhone, to me, just makes it so much more interesting and accessible because at any given time, I can check on the iPhone and find out what's happening, how much time's left, what the pressure is, and what the temperature is.
I wonder how many people here are using Windows 10, and if so, just how they like it, just very quick, nothing too detailed, but...
I am, and it's sort of okay.
I just got a new laptop with Windows 10 and Office 2016, and at first it was difficult. And I know, Jerry, you talked about that last time, that you were having a lot of trouble with Outlook in 2016. I have to say, after working with Microsoft Accessibility, and I bought the plan through Microsoft. I did not buy the computer through Microsoft Store, but they offer the same package of protection and assistance and training, even if you buy the computer elsewhere. I don't think many people know that. It's the same price, and it's the same protection. And they will transfer all of your information. It costs $150. They'll transfer all of your data. And they spent, must have been 7 hours with me on two different occasions, doing transferring stuff, setting up Outlook and all my email addresses and things, and sort of setting that all up. So I first had a lot of trouble with it, and now after just tweaking the settings, it's working quite well as 2010 worked in most respects. So I'm actually surprisingly I'm much happier with it now.
You know, I have to say also that I've resolved a number of the issues I was having with Office 2016. And I don't know if it's because my Office 365 updated and I didn't know it, or if I just accidentally fixed some things, but it is working much better now than it was. There for a while, if I wanted to read my emails, I had to go to the search folders and then go to unread because I couldn't use my inbox, and that is completely fixed now, so it's working fine. I also was having a lot of trouble with the calendar, and I've resolved that too.
Microsoft Office 2010 with Windows 10?
Yes.
Well, Jerry, related to that, I started playing around with Cortana, which is the Siri-like speech that's built into Windows 10. So you can ask what time it is, what's the weather. It's not that robust as that I can tell, but interestingly, it has an alarm setting, and I set the alarm very easily. So I set alarm for 1 p.m., and your alarm is set for 1 p.m. And I find alarms really handy when if I'm involved on the computer and I want to be reminded about something. You could just say it, and that Microsoft Store helped me set that up, actually. So there's some steps to setting up Cortana. But the interesting thing is, when the alarm went off, I could not stop the alarm. And I'd say, hey, Cortana, stop alarm. Hey, Cortana, dismiss alarm. Hey, Cortana, like, I tried everything. And then I had Microsoft Accessibility on the phone twice about it, and they've escalated it, and they couldn't stop it other than using a mouse to click. There's a pop-up screen that comes up and says dismiss, and they did it. But a very sharp woman from Freedom Scientific, who I tandem with, the two of us figured out a way to stop it. But you have to figure out a way to sort of bring that pop-up to the forefront, and then you hit Alt+F4 and it cancels it, and it works.
So do you find it by Alt+Tabbing?
No. What you have to do is you have to hit JAWS F10, and that brings up just a window.
That's right.
And then you hit Escape, and Escape brings that pop-up to the forefront. Then you can dismiss it. So you have to go through a couple of steps.
When setting up Cortana for the first time, how much were you able to do, and how much did you have to have the Microsoft people do?
You know, I have to admit that I was at the store, and we were trying to do it. It was sort of running out of time, and they just did it.
I found the same thing, that setting up initially was very difficult.
Yes, it seemed to be difficult. And that's the other thing about Windows 10. Going through the menu structure, like in the control panel stuff, I'm starting to get the hang of it, but it doesn't fully integrate with JAWS. Like when I hit down arrows and you're in a combination, a drop-down box, it says arrow and I can't hear it. So I have to arrow and then I tab back and then I can hear it.
I found that that's more issues with JAWS, really.
Yes.
Than it is with Windows 10. Because if it's like something like NVDA system access, you'll find that some things work that don't with JAWS. So that particular issue you talk about is more of a JAWS issue.
But Windows 10, a lot of the native apps don't work with screen readers.
Most of them don't.
Have any of you had experience using the riders.uber.com website to pull up a receipt from a previous trip? There is a checkbox that you hit at the beginning of each line that expands the line so that you can find the button that says resend the receipt. I cannot find that at all. I turn graphics on, I turn punctuation on, I can't find it, but one of my sighted coworkers very easily hit it with a mouse and was able to bring it up.
and I've had the same problem.
Oh, okay.
I think the only way to do it is at this point in time is to get someone cited to do it.
Can you do the request receipt through the app?
No.
And the ride history?
No, the app, you can see the receipts, but you can't request a resend of it.
The other thing that got a similar vein that I heard that Uber has done is they've eliminated the support at uber.com email address. Okay. I haven't tried it, but I read that they've eliminated it, and now you're supposed to contact them through the app. You know, in each trip, there's like a thing to request help, and that's now, I guess either that or through Twitter, but that I did read that they got rid of that email address.
I decided to use Uber quite, you know, I never used it before, and I've been using it quite a bit more, and I really like it. But did they just change the interface? Because I used to use it very easily, and all of a sudden the interface seems to have changed on me, and I got it to work. It seems to be a little bit of a moving target sometimes.
What device?
It has to do with the destination, you know, creating your starting point and the destination, and then...
With what kind of device?
With an iPhone.
I mean, once in a while it won't properly look up your destination or something. I've seen that.
And sometimes it doesn't show the destination button until you put in your starting point.
That's what I've had happen to me, and I thought it was just user error. And you go back and forth a few times and then it'll pop up. I've noticed that when I use Uber and I want to enter in my pickup or destination, if I dictate my address into the search field and hit search, it comes up with all these wild addresses that are nothing like where I want to go. But if I actually type in the search field what my address is, then it comes up when I hit the search.
Include the city when you dictate it?
I do.
Because even when you search by typing, it'll bring up addresses in other states and things sometimes.
Yeah, no, I always say the city.
There was a street that I looked up that, I forget the name of the street, but it kept saying megatons at the beginning of the street name. I think it was...
Is it Mount? Mount something?
That's yes, it was. It was it was not Auburn Street.
So that's a voiceover issue.
Right.
You see MT and kind of figure out,
Megatons.
Maybe everybody knows this, but you can set up your home and work address in Uber, so that those are easily available.
You can also have multiple accounts on there.
Has anyone heard about this new thing with the ride, Uber, and being able to use the ride for same-day accessibility?
I know that it's going to happen. I don't know if it's been implemented yet. I guess the way the program would work is they would give you a card, and you would put money on it. And I don't remember how much it is, but for every trip, they would pay so much, and you would pay so much. And it would be for same-day trips, but I'm not sure that it's been implemented yet.
Jerry, right now they have a pilot program called the Taxi Subsidy Program, or TSP, and basically you can get a debit card. They were originally targeting people that had ride subscriptions, and essentially you get this Bank of America government debit card. Basically, for every $2 that you pay to put in, they'll put $15 worth of credit to take taxis. 13.
13.
You can essentially request a taxi and use this debit card, although each taxi ride can only be a maximum of $15, and you can only do 2 rides a day, and then the card won't work. But if you have a trip that's even, like, let's say $16, then it will authorize it. So it's handy for, like, short little trips, but you can't go, you know, that far in a traditional cab for $15 or less. And this program, the TSP, is solely for traditional cabs. It has nothing to do with Uber and Lyft. But on a separate note, as far as I understand, the Office of Transportation Access is doing an RFP with Uber and Lyft to, you know, they want to be able to have people use Uber and Lyft. And they would probably associate it to your account, and then you'll be able to have a similar program with Uber and Lyft, but that's not out yet from what I've heard. They're still designing the specs of it with Uber and Lyft.
And that TSP program only works with a very few certain taxi companies. I think they're mostly right around the Boston area, right?
Although the debit card might work with any company that's a taxi company. It will work with, like, any... Not with Uber, but with any company that's a taxi company.
That
may not be the official answer, but that's how it really works.
Wow.
walk?
I run. I had used to have this Nike Plus band, and it synced with my iPhone, and when I was running, every minute, it would give me these great little updates about my pace and distance. Nike Plus doesn't make those anymore, and mine has died. Does anybody know of anything similar that's accessible? There's tons of them for sighted people, but they're watches, and you have to see them.
I would say either the Apple Watch or Fitbit.
Fitbit won't give you, like, as you're running, real-time statistics. Like, I want to know my pace while I'm running, not after I ran.
RunKeeper is an app on the iPhone. I think it does that. It's accessible, yes.
There's another one called Map My Run that will give you periodic updates, but I'm not sure if it's accessible.
Have you tried contacting the manufacturer at all?
Of the Nike?
Yeah, about that. Maybe they have, you know, if you explain your circumstances and how limited
it is. Oh, maybe they have some old.
Or maybe you can buy one on eBay.
Yeah, or eBay, yeah.
Oh, you guys have good ideas. Okay.
And also, New York City has a running group that might be more active than, I think it's like Achilles or what
they
call it.
There is one in Boston.
Adobe Acrobat Reader. Got the latest one to the DC. I'm downloading a lot of bank statements and other documents people send me as email attachments. Document opens up on my screen. Sometimes JAWS reads it. That's very nice. So I want to save as. I'm going to change the file and park it somewhere. When I go to save as, I hear some kind of a menu, but it doesn't read the menu. And I root JAWS to PC, it'll read a bunch of menu items, nothing to do with saving. It's not what I expect. So I reported this to Freedom Scientific. They are able to duplicate the problem. Anybody else experience this? I want to save it as PDF. I want to change the filing, but I want to stick it into a certain folder.
Are you using Windows 10 or Windows 7?
Windows 7.
Me, the DC there, doesn't use the standard save as dialog boxes. I thought the latest version of JAWS addressed a lot of the issues in Me, the DC, but that, like I said, that may be an issue that they haven't gotten to yet. You may just as well do this in Windows Explorer, you know, just make a copy of it, paste it someplace else, and just change the file name. What I'm saying is, how are you getting these PDFs in the first place?
Oh, I'm going to bank websites or email attachments.
Because usually, I mean, if you do go to the context menu on the link, you could do like save document as in that menu.
So some people like to save the document without ever opening it.
Yeah, sure.
I don't like to do that. I want to know whether I have an accessible document or not, because I might need that document 5 years from now, and oops, it was never accessible. Right. So I always open the document first and then save it.
What if you open it first?
Close
so
it.
That you know, yeah, so I was going to say, yeah. So you know it's accessible, then close it,
and
then go
and
do whatever Frank said.
Yeah.